I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. So we've been searching, and we told you the other day for, you know, some of the parameters of why is this so different. Now, it's different. It's not the flu. We've gotten well past that with most reasonable people, but do we make decisions every day about risk, cost, benefit? President Trump yesterday laid out a plan of phases. There's cost benefit to that. No one knows. Could there be a slight flare up in certain hot spots based upon what governors are going to do now? Or could it be it's pretty smooth? Or could it be a big blow up? It's risk. It's assessment. It's assessing that. At the same time, you assess the economy. And not just the financials, but what happens to people under the economy being so bad. You know, the factors downstream, domestic violence, suicides, and all the rest. Joining us is a guy who was cited in this article in the New York Post, Michael French. He's a professor of health management and policy and academic director. And he was billed in there, and I guess safe to say, a health economist, which is quite a combination and very necessary. He's down there in Miami. He joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Professor, welcome. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dom. Happy to talk with you.
Well, you say that in this one piece I had, I think this was NPR, managing choices between public health and the economy happens every day. I was so pleased to see that however people come down on this, that guys like you, I'm surprised no one's contacted you to be an advisor during this, because you marry both fields and can speak to previous scenarios that relate to what we're experiencing here.
Yeah, it's what I try to point out in my research and along with colleagues is that we make these decisions every day in terms of economic growth versus public health. And one of the examples that is pretty clear in those comparisons is related to traffic fatalities. So when the economy is doing well, there's a lot more volume on highways. There's a lot more commuting to work. But that leads to many more crashes and many more deaths. And those deaths are with people that are typically younger and healthier compared to the COVID-19 deaths, which are more older and health-compromised individuals. So that doesn't mean that we want to slow growth to save traffic fatalities. It just means that we're making these trade-offs. And shutting down the economy, as it's going on right now, is leading to many fewer traffic fatalities, but it's also leading to fewer pollution-related deaths, and there's also issues related to how people are integrating, and sometimes that can be stressful. Even stuck in traffic jams can be pretty stressful for people. So we're making right. These trade-offs all the time, and what we argue is that when we're shutting down the economy to put less pressure on hospitals and other providers, we're just shifting deaths from one group to another as opposed to eliminating them.
Yes, and that's something that I think I'm on the side of reopening the economy, given some of the factors that Trump talked about yesterday being in place here in Pennsylvania. Well, let me put it this way. I think that you got to do this on a case-by-case basis. The governor is way overshot we believe, the businesses that have been shut down that can safely social distance and the like. But here's something that jumped out in an article that you wrote. The general consensus among economists is that the value of saving a life in the United States is about $10 million. Wow, I thought that was pretty hefty.
Well, keep in mind, this is not an individual that you can point out in the street and say that person's life is worth $10 million. The way we have come to these calculations is observing people's behaviors and how they trade off money for risk. And I won't get into the specifics. It's pretty complicated analyses, but it essentially shows that the value of saving a future life of unknown person, of unknown origin, comes out to be about $10 million. So if it costs more to impose regulations than $10 million, and all we're doing is saving one life, we're better off relaxing those regulations, because you're going to put more damage into the economy. You're going to cost a greater amount than what society has deemed is the value of a statistical life.
Yet, I'm so glad you said that here, and we're not saying any life is not precious and all the rest, but we do this in a macro level every day, and yet, if you go anywhere near this in political circles to say cost-benefit analysis, risk, with what's going to happen now with reopening America, you're not allowed to, the media really turns on you on that. I mean, do you sense that you can't make a rational case? You have to be sensitive. You have to be very careful with what we're dealing with here, but we're not even allowed to have this, it seems to me, in the public debate. That's why I was so glad you were referenced in this article.
Yeah, it can be somewhat offensive to people, even though when I teach physicians, for example, they often say that you're taking morbidity and mortality and putting dollars on that. And my response to them is, but you're doing that all the time in terms of what treatments you deliver and who gets it and who doesn't and which ones you prescribe. So we do these calculations and enact these decisions all the time. We don't often think of it as a dollar-dollar comparison, but that's ultimately what it is.
Do you have any sense, would you be so bold now, because, you know, this is very, these models and all the rest of it have been vilified. If they had been a little bit off, Dr. French, I would have been okay with this. But boy, these really overshot the numbers, thank God, et cetera. Do you have any sense then, if you had to predict, or is it just impossible, given what you do, the parameters of what have been laid out, what we see in front of us in phase one, for example, and X number of states, we know the states that really have problems, New York and all, they're not going to be doing that anytime soon. Are we risking a catastrophe, or is the best evidence tell us we're risking some flare-ups, but it is not going to be like it has been at its peak in the states that reopen?
So that's a little bit out of my field in terms of infectious disease predictions about flare-ups and whether there's going to be new hotspots, things like that. But what I can say is that if we're going to relax the restrictions, I think I'm on very safe ground saying that we are going to have more ICU admissions. We're going to have more people who are going to be infected. There's pretty much no disagreement about that. The question is, are we actually saving more lives when you look at one compared to the other by reducing the amount of food insecurity people have because they're not able to earn a salary right now, or they're not able to pay the rent, so there's mental illnesses that are going to crop up because
suicide
of that.
Yeah,
suicides and things like that. But I also need to point out that opening up the economy is going to lead to different deaths in other areas, in terms of pollution related deaths, traffic fatalities. So you always have to look at this in a holistic way. You can't just look at one group.
Right.
Are we going to have increasing pressure on healthcare providers? Almost certainly, but we might save lives in other areas that might be greater than what we're creating in that by relaxing those restrictions.
Okay, a lot of this gut instinct. You seem to have, or maybe it's just my perception too, a lot of expertise or a lot of thought into the whole problem of drinking, alcoholism, related to events outside that. So I'm looking at a piece, the pandemic could mean increased risk for heavy drinkers. That was what the headline was in here, because here in Pennsylvania, we shut down the liquor stores. So let me ask you, if the governor is sitting there and they're saying, because in New Jersey, we have not shut down the liquor stores, they come to Dr. French and you know you're given more data. Would you say, yeah, shut down the liquor stores in this, yes or no?
So if there was just a simple yes or no, I'd say don't shut them down, but let me explain why. And the reason why is because that it, as long as you have social distancing practices in place where you don't allow large crowds to congregate in liquor stores, as long as you can do it safely, we have already decided that alcohol is an acceptable commodity, and we already allow people to consume it. So by shutting it down, you might be preventing some people from engaging in excessive drinking, but you're also hurting many, many more responsible drinkers who just want to relax while they're in their home.
And Dr., I would tell you, we have a funny situation here in Pennsylvania. I mean, literally, if you're where I am or Center City, Philadelphia, you can be within 15, 18, 20 minutes of going over a bridge into New Jersey, and right on the other side of the bridge, pretty much, huge amounts of alcohol available. So now we have people traveling to said liquor stores. They get in these humongous lines, sometimes 1,000 people. There's not a lot of social distancing. And I think we're seeing more death than we would by having the liquor stores open here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, there's another example of that when some counties are dry, some are damp, and some are wet. And those that are dry, the people who reside there oftentimes drive to distant counties where you can purchase beer or wine or even further where you can purchase liquor. And then they have to drive back, and sometimes they've had some drinks where they actually purchased, and you're creating greater risk for everyone else on highways.
Absolutely. Do you have a website, Dr. Michael French, where people can find you?
Sure. You can go to the Miami Herbert Business School at University of Miami, and you can just go ahead and type me in there, and you'll get to see a profile and related research and things like that.
Question I always wanted to ask a guy in your place, how do you or how do students ever concentrate with such great weather? I mean, come on now. All year long, people walking around with tans and everything's right around there in Miami. You got the South Beach and everything. How do you do serious things like this, even morbidity, when you're in the middle of that?
Well, yeah, it can be tough, but it gets hot during the late spring. So we have a large pool in the middle of campus so that students can relax and study while they're getting a suntan there as well.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a big recommendation for the U. That's what it sounds like to me. Hey, Dr. French, thank you. Thanks for joining us today. Do hope we can talk again. Thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Stay safe.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.